Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ahoy hoy everybody, welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we feel a great sadness in our bosoms at all times. That's a reference coming up. This is Bob Mackey, your host, and who else is here today?
What, your name one more time?
My name is Bob Mackey. Oh, that feels so good in my ears. Who else is here today?
Christopher Antista.
And H-E-N-E-R-E-Y-G on Twitter, Henry. And I have a handicap of 8 on putting.
I don't know what mine is, but we're going to be talking about Dead Putting Society today. By the way, this is Laser Time Podcast Network's Chronological Simpsons Exploration. Mm-hmm. And this episode aired on November 15th, 1990. Chris, what happened on this magical day in history? 25 years ago, almost.
Oh, boy, Bobby. Oh, my God. This week in Simpsons News, the Iraqi government announces it will start releasing American hostages starting on Christmas Day. Pop group Milli Vanilli are revealed to be a pair of lip-syncing frauds. And Time Warner announces an all-new cable station called the American Lawyer Media Channel.
What the hell?
Which was shortened to Court TV and eventually turned into True TV. And once again, we do this to showcase how long The Simpsons has been on the air.
I want to say R.A.P. Rob or Fab, whichever one of those guys
took their own life. I think it was Rob.
Yeah. It was the guy who went, bump, bump, a bone.
But there were basically like two German white guys doing the vocals for that, right? Or something like older men.
Two models.
Oh, the people, these they were German models of varying ethnicity. It was hard to pin down what
it was, really, yeah.
Well, you put a zoot suit on somebody, it's crazy.
But they were the pretty face who sang over ugly people with good voices.
Like, right. Well, they were like 40-year-old studio singers.
And that's true, and I think it's understood now that no pop singer actually sings their own music or writes it. I think we're much less innocent now. Where it's like, if you pay to see Miley Cyrus, you're paying to see her lip-sync to something from 1,000 feet away, right?
I keep pimping. If you haven't seen her on Netflix, it's a great documentary, The Wrecking Crew. And it is about the most unfamous studio musicians who wrote every song, and they only fell out of fashion because, like, the people decided they only wanted authentic music.
I see.
Written
okay.
and sung. So I do think you have to sing. You have to sing on your albums. You cannot have a stand-in.
I see.
But like lip syncing in shows, that's just a. Yeah. And I went to a long time ago a No Limit Soulja concert, and everybody there unanimously agreed it was the worst shit we've ever paid money to see because they put on the album and just talked over it.
Wow.
And like, and just kind of did the same, just lip synced over their own album.
Did The Simpsons ever have a Milli Vanilli joke? I just remember them being on Super Mario Brothers, the Mario 3 show, but.
Really?
Yeah, it's a lost episode because they did put it on the DVDs, but they had to replace the music because they weren't paying for the Milli Vanilli music they played on ABC Saturday morning.
No, it's true.
I think there was a Simpsons parody called Funky See Funky Do.
Funky See Funky Do.
But I don't know what the joke was, but I don't think it was about lip syncing.
No.
But it was clearly a Milli Vanilli.
But it was beyond lip syncing. It's fascinating. It just, they weren't the singers.
No.
I don't think we've ever. It's a Blues Traveler video come to life.
They won a Grammy.
Later, Ashley Simpson relived the same nightmare 20 years later.
I point that out because last season, that was one of the news I pointed out that they had not been revealed as frauds yet, and now they have. And. Yes, that is This Week in Simpsons History. I love this. I love how colorful this episode is. I did not get the reference in the title, though.
I still have not seen Dead Poets Society. Have you seen it?
I have.
I thought I had, and then I saw, like, you know, one of those awful Facebook meme quote things, and like, I don't remember that. I haven't seen this.
I remember the community parody of Dead Poets Society, where it's the guy, it's like, seize the day, stand on top of your desk.
It is very true. Like, maybe it's not cool to make fun of Dead Poets Society because it stars the late Robin Williams, but yeah, it is cornball and cliche and overly earnest of just, like, this teacher that inspires his students.
Who I'd like to point out, I have a comprehensive article on lasertimepodcast.com called Every Dead Simpsons Guest Star Ever.
Mm. That's great.
And I constantly pointed out, what about Robin Williams? I'm like, bro, he's never on the show. Yeah, never on the show.
That's a real misstep, I think.
It's weird. Yeah. Really? 25 years, not the most prominent comedian of my lifetime? You never had him on?
But what was this episode?
This episode is all about a miniature golf contest, but it is really like...
It seems so quaint.
The first real Flanders episode, yes. I think, where it's like Flanders is not just in the background. He's a prominent character, and he's really just a foil to Homer. Mm-hmm. He's like, he and his family are the perfect family and set up and opposed to Homer's bad family.
Just setting up beyond a minor annoyance in Homer's life, a rivalry it starts to emerge.
Right.
And then like that continues to this, to this day if Harry Shearer is willing to participate.
He wasn't just a 2-minute joke guy who showed up like, I have something that's better than you, Homer. This was the introduction of Maude. It was the introduction of his obscene Christianity and turn the other cheek.
That's right.
Like all that.
And when you put him next to Flanders, it juxtaposes... The Simpsons to me read pretty normal, not white trashy, but I love whenever they're with the Flanders, they appear more blue-collar
like
than ever.
Upper middle class Protestant family.
Because the camping episode, whatever it's called, we did in the first season.
Right.
Like he
called the Simpsons.
I get your mail every once in a while. You only make a couple bucks more than me a month.
His rumpus room shows he makes a lot more.
I love beautiful. This joke. I don't want to kick off with the line of the show, but I love Homer's response to this.
There's a tasty little lager that came all the way from Holland.
Well, beggars can't be choosy.
it's been so long. Holland.
The Ned of today wouldn't have a beer tap. Though they actually brought it back in later episodes, like in the Movementarians
That's
episode,
right, yeah.
The Joy of Sect, it's called. Mm-hmm. Him having a beer tap in his rumpus room is still referenced again.
He does, yeah. And I feel like it's so great in that Ned is not a bad guy.
No.
He does not realize he's bragging, but he's like the ultimate nice neighbor. Yeah. Like he will invite you into his very nice house and pour you a beer and serve you food. But Homer just feels very insecure about everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I think at some point Homer snaps when he's invited over to Ned's and he just goes off on this rant. Do you have any part of that?
I do.
I love what makes him snap, too, because it's Rod with the most innocuous
I don't
ever.
Have that part.
And then Flanders just says, children are a trial sometimes. Like, what?
And so right after that.
All right, knock it off!
Knock what off, Simpson?
You've been rubbing my nose in it since I got here. Your family is better than my family. Your beer comes from farther away than my beer. You and your son like each other. Your wife's butt is higher than my wife's butt. You make me sick.
Simpson, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave. I hope you understand.
I wouldn't stay on a bet.
I think the thing about his wife's butt didn't really hit me until now. Like, that's really
personal.
I had to
think about that. Is that really what I look for in a butt? That it's higher?
I guess that was Homer's reasoning of like, this butt is perkier.
It's a proud butt.
And according to everything else, Marge is like the hottest person in
Springfield. Well, I think that's because the artists like to draw. The artists sometimes take
Marge
liberties.
Was in Playboy, but Maude Flanders was not.
Yeah,
well, Marge was dead by then.
That's true.
That's great in the commentaries that they reference. Like Mike Reese just offhandedly says, I wish she wasn't dead. Oh, well, anyway. And
so I got three notes to rattle off before we start this, before we get further into it. I think lamest couch gag ever.
Is that the one with
what
Maggie
is that, like
and
Maggie
hair?
And the hair?
Just the dog and the cat are there on the couch.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
If you go back to season one, I'm sure there was a lamer one.
They
all just like jump
just
on it once.
The dog jumping on the couch. There's nothing to it. They don't lick anybody. They just stare at the television. It's directed by Rich Moore, wreck of Wreck-It Ralph fame.
Oh,
and
right,
to this day, might be a territorial thing. I don't know what crabgrass is.
It'd be nice if we called it elfgrass. Yeah. Well, we don't own yards. If we owned yards, we might.
I'm saying growing up in Florida, where like grass will grow whether you want it to
it's
or not.
It's a different kind of grass that's bad for some reason.
I guess.
I don't know. I'm sure
all
like,
apartment
well,
dwellers
uglier,
yes, big city.
I believe it's uglier grass that will then replace your nice grass.
Yeah,
it's
like patchier grass.
Of how ancient the Simpsons look, I know they're making a point about Homer's income with his lawnmower, but I have
no human owns that lawnmower.
I think when I was five, my dad had one of those. Mm. And like I barely have any context for a non-motorized lawnmower and don't even believe it'll work.
So it's very Call of the Simpsons because it starts off with Bart mowing the lawn and like I think Ned on a riding lawnmower. So there are very much a lot of callbacks to that episode in particular. But Henry, go ahead.
Oh, well, I also something that really colors my viewing on this episode. Mm-hmm. was that when I first listened to the commentary track, and I always remember this, that the writers point out that Homer is angry the entire episode.
Yeah, he really is,
and
yeah.
never calms down. Like, this is, Homer is probably never angrier ever in the series in this episode.
He's angry at Bart and Flanders.
Yeah.
Like, he never lets it up.
Like,
it
he's
is.
He's constantly just shouting at people.
It,
like,
it's juxtaposed with our biggest look at Flanders. I love every Flanders gag in this. I love... I don't think this is the introduction of Reverend Lovejoy, but no. I just love this line from him.
Honey, honey, wake up. It sounds like Ned Flanders is having some sort of crisis.
Oh, probably stepped on a worm.
But Ned Flanders is the one who, like, after he kicks Homer out, is the one who develops the complex. Is the bigger man.
I'm not perfect like Ned Flanders.
And him calling Lovejoy is a running joke they use a few more times where he has him on speed dial and he will call him
for
the most trivial things.
That's a very dated joke, speed dial. Like, he's got him on speed dial. Same with, I also like that Ned's sleepwear, this is the first time we've seen it, hasn't really changed. Like, they keep that nightcap and green outfit. Like, when Homer and Ned become friends in that episode, he says, I think I hate Homer Simpson. Like, that's the same outfit he's wearing.
Oh, right, yeah.
Speaking of green, that's the color of the Simpsons' master bedroom in this episode. I'm sure they're trying to make pink for night.
Oh,
but it's just
right.
like, if you look at it closely, it's like a completely different color.
I also, now it's showing how much empathy I have now, I feel, compared to as a kid. I now feel really bad for Ned that they're all laughing at his letter.
Lisa is. I mean, so...
Even Marge is.
Even Marge. She has to excuse herself.
You are my brother. I love you. And yet, I feel a great sadness. In my bosom. Wait, there's more.
I think that's terrible. A man opens his heart and you make fun of him.
What a sap. Read the bosom part again, Dad.
Now, just a minute.
Bosom.
Yeah, Ned tries to write an apology letter for kicking Homer out, that's the Simpsons' response to it.
What happens was, like, Homer comes back home and complains to Marge about how Ned is treating him, and he finds out, like, Ned is not really treating him the way he thinks he's being treated, so he goes out on a walk just to prove he's right, and he runs into Ned, and then Ned slips a note under his door, and then they read it the next morning. But you miss my favorite line is, like, it's Homer reading, "Neighbors forever, oh no!"
I did love that line.
Yeah.
That's one of those rare jokes where it's like, Homer is trying to be funny and is funny.
It is funny when the family can have a moment together in these early episodes. Like, they're all on the same page. They're all laughing at the same thing, which is really cute.
One, and Homer is being clever. Like, neighbors forever. Oh, no. Like, that's him.
Yeah.
It's more cleverness than he's ever shown.
And even Lisa is lacking in empathy at this point.
Yes.
She's like a true little kid. Like,
this is early Lisa.
Right.
That's something I did love about the recent Halloween of Horrors episode, is that Lisa acts like a real little kid. Like, it's something they kind of lose.
I really like her acting like a little kid.
Though it is funny that in this, you know, you say, in this episode, she acts like a little kid. In about 5 minutes, she will not be a kid.
Oh, for sure.
At all.
Yeah.
She's a guru.
Yeah. So what happens after they read the letter is Marge gets upset, even though she laughs at the letter. Mm-hmm. And then Homer decides, let's do things as a family, like the Flanders.
You can't sincerely use the word bosom. You haven't been able to do that for 50 years.
Maybe in 1990, you were on, like, the breaking point of that.
Yeah.
But still, like, I think Macarini was talking about laughing at church songs, talking about being in the bosom of Abraham. And laughing at those things.
That was the writer, Jeff Martin.
Okay, yeah. He I think he went to, like, Christian camp or something like that. Yeah.
We have something in common.
Well, so, go ahead.
And yeah, with the promise of frosty chocolate milkshakes. I can't believe
is that. Tracy Ullman runner?
Yeah, I feel
or...
like they hadn't said frosty chocolate milkshakes on the show.
Yeah.
Until then.
Maybe
really,
in...
We have a clip of it.
Notice Grace Like Home, maybe?
Frosty.
Fake Simpsons family said that, I think.
That became a thing in our family, too, that we would say...
Frosty chocolate milkshake.
Come on, boy.
We would say, oh, hey, we just finished this hike together, or we just did this thing. Let's go to Dairy Queen for some frosty chocolate milkshakes.
That's my shout out to Brett Elson, who does, in my opinion, the greatest season zero Homer and Marge impression.
It
ever.
Is really good.
I love it.
Yeah.
Homer. Another of my favorite lines was earlier when Homer, when Ned says, mowing the lawn, and then Homer says, who told? Like, that's such a great snide thing to say. I need to pull that into my thing.
This all culminates in this sucks. But this is also something I felt as a kid, and I don't think people give kids credit before. This escalates to a situation where the kids are pitted against one another. And I remember watching it as a kid and realized, oh, this isn't my family.
No.
Like, yeah. This is not my scenario. I don't have to worry about this. This is not everybody, and I don't think people trust young people enough to think that not everything they see on TV is emblematic of reality.
This pressure is not on me.
Yeah, like, I didn't feel that at all, and I'm watching this now, I'm like, this is horrible, and I had to remember how I felt. I'm like, oh yeah, nothing, because my parents aren't like this.
And I do like that Bart knows he's a loser. He's looking at all of his trophies. It's like, participant, like, thanks for showing up, and it does kind of defeat that whole millennial thing where it's like, you think you're so special because you got trophies. It's like, no, we all realize that these trophies were shit,
and
Bart does as well. He's like, no, these mean nothing. Like, I just showed up.
There's literally a trophy displayed on his thing called Everybody Gets a Trophy Day.
That's right, yeah. And it does feel like it's undercutting something that would be complained about 25 years later. Yes. Like, no, we know this is garbage.
I also remember how exciting it was to receive a trophy for nothing. I have a collection of trophies for nothing.
So,
what did I get this for? Yeah, I won this for not dying before the soccer season was over.
Congrats.
So did you guys do miniature golf a lot as a kid?
We did.
Like, I
putt-putt, baby.
Same deal, putt-putt and miniature golf.
I know, it's just a chain that doesn't exist anymore.
I don't think I did, because this episode set me up for miniature golf that would never really exist, where each hole is this magnificent, like, display.
Yeah.
So, like, when I played miniature golf, like, maybe 3 or 4 years later, I'm like, this is all just, like, flat greens with, like...
Disappointing.
I've been to a few that had some interesting, like, flair to it, but nothing like even one of the holes.
Well,
in
Central Florida, like, this is huge. Like, like, entire tableaus of fallen societies, that's one hole. So that does happen in the Orlando area, but, like, I fluctuate constantly with getting Simpsons tattoos on me. I'm glad I never have. The first one, I was in line to get it before I had to leave. Homer Simpson popping at a beer keg. It felt very important when I was 21. But right now, alligator with boxing gloves.
That is,
like,
great.
Right now, like,
it made no sense.
Like, right now, I would get an alligator with boxing
did
gloves.
Did the monkey, like, have, like, a mortar board or something?
Professor Monkey, and I did love the cute. It was a cheap visual gag.
It was pretty
Homer
cheap,
dancing
yeah.
like the monkey, getting angry, and again, still angry. I also did love the joke that. Then one of the Homer hits it into one of three holes and it goes in the parking lot.
Yes.
Like, that is such a cheap thing for the
that company. Actually, like, that happened to me. There would be, like, the final hole where you would get you would either hit it into this thing that got you a free ball, but you could hit it into the thing that, like, just put it into nowhere. So yeah, it felt true to life
at
to me.
Putt-putt, where how it works is, like, you didn't pay for the clubs or to be on the course, you paid for a ball.
That's right. Yeah.
So if you lost the ball, you'd have to go back and buy another one. And it also, I absolutely was the kid who got bored and just did a full-on, like, 8-3-wood.
You did a drive.
Yeah, well, yeah. Full-on follow-through.
I think the other thing that wasn't realistic about this episode is that Bart should have been like, yeah, I'm going to the arcade. Like, the arcade that's attached to this,
inside
I'm going
of this
there.
Place that's better.
And I was more interested in that, yeah.
Filled with smoke and lovely. But yeah, the guys go to a golf competition. Go to a miniature golf course and see. What was the miniature golf course called?
Sir Putzel?
Sir Putzel.
Yeah, not the most inspired joke.
Notice there's a competition for money.
Hey, look! Wow, first prize, $50!
Wow, free balloons for everyone who enters!
So, my little Bartley, thinking of entering the tournament?
Yeah, he's entering, and once more, he's going to win, aren't you, boy?
I guess it's possible.
Hey, I like that confidence, but I hope you're not putting too much pressure on the boy. My Todd's awfully good.
Oh, yeah? Well, I think the fruit of my loins can beat the fruit of your loins any day of the week.
When Homer says, like, it is not okay to lose, like, that's harsh.
But, Dad, I've never won anything in my life.
Son, this is the only time I'm ever going to say this. It is not okay to lose.
This is classic bad advice Homer
from the
first and second seasons, where the joke is, like, he will say the worst thing at the worst time.
But props again to Castellaneta, because that I love his inflection on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like,
there's a desperation in Homer's voice.
Well, as they note in the commentary that they thought that they remember Dan Castellaneta getting very red in the face during many of the line readings of him shouting.
I don't doubt it.
Shouting at Ned.
This is a long one, but it's him. It's a Homer trying to teach Bart to appreciate his club and possibly
give
it a name.
Bit.
What are you doing? That putter is to you what a bat is to a baseball player. What a violin is to the violin guy. Now, come on, give your putter a name.
What?
Come on, give it a name.
Mr. Putter.
Mom, you want to try a little harder, son? Come on, give it a girl's name.
Mom.
Your putter's name is Charlene.
Why?
It just is, that's why. Now, this is a picture of your enemy, Todd Flanders. Every day, I want you to spend 15 minutes staring at it and concentrating on how much you hate him and how glorious it will be when you and Charlene annihilate him.
Who's Charlene?
I'll show you who Charlene is. Now start hating.
Homer is an inch away from hitting him with a golf club.
Yeah.
Love this punctuation.
Hi, Bart.
So he waves at him from the window across.
So far, we have a ball named Homer and a putter named Charlene in this entire run so far.
I do like. I think Mr. Putter is a much better name.
It's a better name, yeah. Where did Charlene come from? Who knows? I think things need to have feminine names, like cars and boats and putters.
That's a very dad feeling, like, hey, call these things you own are women.
That's why I'm going to buy a boat and name it Batman's Penis.
Ooh, I like it. It's appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so then Lisa gets in on it.
Bart turns to Lisa. I think Lisa recognizes Bart's plight, in which she doesn't know what it's like for anyone to take an interest in her.
That's my line of the show.
I wish I got it.
I'm thankful Dad has little to no interest in everything I do. That's a feeling I could more identify with.
Yeah.
Getting his dad too interested, I more remember.
Like I said, I'm closer to being a father. There are no plans and I am not having any sex. But it's going to happen sooner or later. Remind yourself not to do that. Not to ignore your daughter's needs because they might not be similar to yours, whereas I'll like anything my son does.
I do think Lisa understands that it's better if they don't care because I remember a later line where it's like they miss his half-ass underparenting.
Yeah.
Where it's like he's caring too much and it's destroying their
lives. Your half-assed overparenting is much worse than your half-assed underparenting.
Yeah.
I was using my whole ass. And okay, then comes the introduction to I have since read a tiny bit of Lao Tzu, actually in this really good comic book that was like the teaching of Lao Tzu as a comic. But this was my introduction to it, though I didn't know it. And that one hand clapping joke was the best.
I
knew that. That's how I would have answered it.
I was doing it at home too. I was just like, "Oh, yeah, it's really easy."
I definitely have that, but I love her I love the portrayal of Lisa as the lame intellectual, and I never not laughed at her walking in the library and saying, "Hey, gang!"
The whole library gang.
The whole library knows little Lisa, and I laughed a little more. When the Dewey Decimal System, holy shit.
I miss
again,
card catalogs.
Card catalogs and her looking and seeing what is related to putting.
We need to say this is one of several card catalog jokes of the first three or four seasons, I believe. I mean, this is pre-internet, computer system. This is, do you know what a card catalog is? Let us know, please.
I think the last card catalog joke they ever did was when they agreed card catalogs were out of date and no one goes to the library and they open the card catalog and bats fly out.
Yeah.
That was
Sideshow Bob runs for governor.
Sideshow Bob
Mayor.
Roberts.
Yeah.
So wonderful quick cut on that. But I love this clip.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Ralph.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, gang. Okay, Bart, this is the card catalog. Let's see. Golf. Anecdotes. Eisenhower and fashion, humor, Japanese obsession with. Here it is. Putting.
Eisenhower on Japanese obsession.
I didn't get
with.
That letter joke. Were the Japanese obsessed with golf at some point?
I didn't know that was a stereotype in the 90s.
Me neither. I didn't research it.
I know in Lost in Translation there's a scene where Bill Murray goes golfing, but I just figured they have the same amount of golf courses as is average.
Are a lot of Japanese golf games, especially from this time around on the Famicom, in the
Maybe
Genesis.
Maybe it got popular just then.
Well, I attribute it to something like the Brits love their racing games.
That is very
and
true.
And it's
yeah.
because a car is a giant luxury, as is the space to use it. Golf requires a dickload of wasted space.
Yeah. Which Japan does not have.
That's the thing where I lived in Florida. I can't speak for you, Chris.
No,
but
for sure.
I lived in Florida. There are golf courses everywhere because that's the only shit people want to use that real estate for.
Yeah, just like paved over swamps.
But
right?
it's also I love living in a city because I grew up in Florida and everything's a mile away.
Yep.
Yeah, everything.
I need a car to drive everywhere. Yes. And there will be parking everywhere I go, too. But
and now if I want liquor, crack, or a hostess pie, it's just it's less than a block
it's
away.
It's all in the same place, really.
Did you think it was weird that Krusty was at that pool hall?
It was weird. And it was Krusty pre-this ain't makeup Krusty.
Yeah.
You know, he was in this fleshy, flesh skin.
I think it's much better once they decided, no, he always wears makeup. He is always a clown.
That was an early choice, too. That was season four, I think. Yeah.
This ain't makeup.
I love the influence in game. We recently streamed the Simpsons game the second best Simpsons game, still terrible, from 2007.
I'll call the third best, Chris.
And
I'll challenge you.
Which one? Which one's better?
I would go arcade, hit and run, and then Simpsons
hit and runs.
Game.
You're right. Yeah. Hit and run's fine. We had some lag issues. That was our own setup. That was our problem with our setup.
It's an ancient game at this
point.
But
if you played the Simpsons game, like I love Zen Lisa, and I love that this is kind of where they establish Lisa's the most likely to get into Eastern philosophy.
That's true. And before you play your clip. The arcade game, you know, it is the attract mode, and all the characters have a quote. This embrace nothingness is from this episode.
Oh, really?
It's not Lisa's quote, but it's from this episode where, like, you see, like, Lisa, age 8, hobbies, like, blood type, whatever.
It says
embrace nothingness. That's what she's saying, and it's from this episode.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
But I call this clip Zen Lisa. I'll probably listen to it before I fall asleep.
What's the sound of one hand clapping?
Piece of cake.
No, Bart, it's a 3,000-year-old riddle with no answer. It's supposed to clear your mind of conscious thought.
No answer? Lisa, listen up.
Ugh, let's try another one. If a tree falls in the woods and no one's around, does it make a sound?
Absolutely.
But Bart, how can sound exist if there's no one there to hear it?
Ooh. It's a very good riddle, but it is... something that it hurt the riddle for me all my life when people would bring it up to be like, isn't this great and introspective? Like, nah, I heard that on Simpsons. On like, I know
it's
this. Like,
it's the oldest cone in the book.
Yeah.
So Bart becomes
awesome.
He does. And I think we missed a little plot point here in that Homer tries to make the challenge more interesting by having a bet with Flanders.
Yes.
Where they agree to mow the lawn in their wife's Sunday dress.
Flanders, I don't care what this looks like. Bart's going to mop the floor with your son's ugly butt.
I made the best man win.
The mating call of the loser.
Now, just a minute, Simpson. I think my son has a very good chance.
Oh, yeah? Want to bet?
I'm not a betting man. Oh, I'm a chicken, am I?
That's right.
All right. How's this for a wager? A batch of your wife's delicious blueberry muffins against one of my wife's homemade wind chimes.
Why, are you afraid to make a real bet?
No, I just... You know, Simpson, you're starting to annoy me.
Oh, about this, Henny Penny. If Bart wins tomorrow, you have to mow my lawn.
All right. And if Pod wins, you have to mow my lawn.
Yeah.
And do a decent job of it for a change.
Better yet, you have to mow my lawn in your wife's Sunday dress.
You have yourself a bet, you jackaninny.
Love that. After
so
all this,
yeah.
Homer drags Ned to his level.
And then Marge has to write the contract where it's rewritten, and this will eventually bite Ned in the ass a little bit, where it's like, not the loser, the father of the loser, the father of the boy who doesn't win has to mow the lawn.
So separate who I was then and who I am now when I remember, like, fucking Flanders, the boy who doesn't win. I'm like, yeah, loser is a pretty harsh word.
You want to be branded with that in a legal context.
Yeah, I don't want to call my 8-year-old a loser.
Yeah.
There's a big plot hole here for me that Bart is getting good at golf, which is what Homer wanted. But Homer seems unable to recognize that Bart is good at it. Is it just because he didn't teach Bart to do it?
I don't know if it's intentional, but I would assume it's to imply that Homer's so selfish he's blinded
he has a pretty good
chance of winning this bet that he made.
It's more about getting one over on Flanders than whatever Bart is doing, I think.
And then I also thought when Bart gets mad at Homer and hits the ball wrong and it bounces off and nearly hits Homer in the head.
I think
at that point... Bart is so good at golf that he did that on purpose. He was trying for sure.
It's a good theory because it doesn't make any sense considering the montage we just saw.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Lisa said, it's a matter of simple geometry. I'm going to lure and push my glasses up.
Yeah.
That's not factoring in force, inertia,
wind. Exactly. She didn't tell him how hard to hit it. But
I also said that Lisa asked Bart to define nirvana, to which he associates a state of being. And not the band. This is the last time that will ever happen.
Oh, for sure.
Mind.
This is on the brink of Nirvana popularity.
So these are two bits from the commentary I wanted to mention around now, too. Mm-hmm. Is the first, that one hand clapping joke they credit to George Meyer, who is like one of their best writers ever,
who
barely is credited as a writer on stuff. And then second, they point out that one, Marge has never worn those dresses, any dress that even looks like the ones they're bringing up in the example, to the point that Mike Reese even brings up, like, did she get those from Clarabel Cow?
They are very matronly, like, turn-of-the-century dresses with, like, petticoats and polka dots and... I just don't understand what context.
Kentucky Derby post-World War.
Yeah.
Marge has one Sunday dress, and that's the one she wears when they go to church every time.
Yeah, it's very of the 90s, I think. And exactly. Like when Homer later, spoilers, he's wearing her dress. He's like, oh, that's my good dress. But it's like, you've never worn that, Marge. That's like your great-grandma's dress.
Just because I want to burn some clips before we get to the finale.
Oh, for sure. Go for it.
This is like the fourth episode in the row I have a clip just called praying.
Lord, we beseech thee.
Hey, Flanders, it's no use praying. I already did the same thing and we can't both win.
I do like Homer is stupid, but he's really underlining
the fraud of religion.
Well, like how useless praying to win a game is, because yeah, it's like, aren't we all like if you believe in God, aren't we all like, you know, under his reign and yeah, and playing by the same rules? Like, why would he favor you over us?
It's just like, if I haven't given context, as a little kid growing up in Florida, I was going, my parents weren't super religious. Grandparents went to Christian camp, though. Joking about prayer and God was not cool in Florida. In public schools, you would be chastised. Like, giant prayer circles everywhere. God was everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And The Simpsons was the only, like, while I'm growing up and questioning aspects of religion, which is not allowed, The Simpsons was the only place doing it via clips like this, like slightly underhanded, like, mm-hmm, what's God gonna do?
I did like, right before they go there, their breakfast before the big game, mm-hmm, I think it's the first time I've ever seen, the joke is that Marmaduke sucks, and that anybody who laughs at Marmaduke is right, dumb.
Henry, that you have like inadvertently stumbled upon my line of the show.
Yeah, that's...
That's the joke.
Because the best line in the show to emphasize how truly dumb Homer is.
It's crazy, Marmaduke.
There would be there would be like four more of these. Like, I think Rex Morgan, MD, you've got the cure for the Daily Blues.
Yeah. No.
Oh, Andy Cap, you wife beating drunk.
No, but like it doesn't matter. If you're an adult who laughs out loud at a Marmaduke cartoon.
And by the way, like, R.I.P. Yeah. Marmaduke guy just died
did
recently.
He really?
Yeah,
he did
indeed. After being defamed on Rick and Morty.
Yeah. So yeah, and I feel like that's in 1990. That's so new of them saying we're saying Marmaduke sucks by having an idiot like it.
That was edgy, like saying Garfield is bullshit. Like in 1991, it's like Garfield's king of the world. How dare you? It's
and
like,
I was
no,
the biggest Sunday strip fan. Our city didn't have Marmaduke, so I had my grandparents save their newspaper so I could read it when I came over.
Listen, Marmaduke only needed one panel. Everybody else needed three. Marmaduke was good with one.
I'm trying to think of this stupid big dog cartoon in Parade.
Howard Hughes.
I love you, Bob. Christ.
So then comes their the big putting game, which is where they also could shove in another Abraham Lincoln joke.
Right.
They just love.
I would
that
say
Lincoln machine. I love the Lincoln.
This whole entire montage is really short on gags. It's mainly served by these two like Masters tournament announcers, very British guys.
Well, it's only that guy. Only one of them.
Only one of them talks.
I kept
you're
expecting
right,
the other one to quip like you're completely out of line, and he never did.
I forgot. It's just Dan Castellaneta doing like a British accent.
But they point out that the silent guy sitting next to him is the father from the Princess Cashmere bachelor party. The one who says, you're in hell.
That's Eugene Fisk's dad.
That's Mr. Fisk.
Wow. Holy
shit. Yeah. I also point that this eloquent British man is a KBBL employee. That is who is doing the golf commentary. The Marty, Spinner Marty in the morning. What is it? I want to
Bill
say
and Marty.
Bill and Marty.
Bill and Marty. It's one of those guys?
No, he
works for KBBL.
It's KBBL.
Okay. Hang on to the KBBL
so
is sponsoring it.
The most diverse radio station I can imagine, who are doing both morning zoos and child miniature golf competitions.
And in case you didn't realize, KBBL is actually a joke because BBL is Babble. So that's 1990 for you folks.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. That's 1990.
I love this character.
If one were to look up courage in the Oxford English Dictionary, one might very well come upon the photo of these two gladiators. They approach the final hole in the shadow of the great emancipator, deadlocked at 8 strokes on the happy side of par. Soon, one man will emerge triumphant. He will drink naught but champagne, while his opponent tastes bitter defeat in this oft-cruel game.
Are you saying children will drink champagne? Like that's.
I think they're implying that the winner would drink champagne.
I don't know, but it's a wonderful read and or a wonderful.
So,
improv.
Bob, can you explain that one joke to me that he says?
I can't explain it, but I can read it because I googled it after this and I was like, there's way too much reading that goes into me understanding this joke. But the final joke is basically Bart and Todd. It's Todd, not Rod, right?
It is. Todd.
Nobody knows.
It is Todd. Well, whatever. It's one of the Flanderses.
I think they've joked on commentaries that they don't even remember. That Nancy is half the times played Rod and half the times
Even
Todd.
The voices change, but they agree that like the competition is stupid. It's not. They're not doing it for them. They're doing it for their father, so they just agree to have a draw. And the announcer says, this is the most stirring display of gallantry and sportsmanship since Mountbatten gave India back to the Punjabs. Which is a very British Empire specific joke about the exchange of territories between Britain, the British Empire, and India in like the 1930s, I think.
Wow.
It is probably like the most obscure joke I've heard, and it's said so fast that I needed to put on the subtitles to even understand what he was saying.
I think
those are just like syllables to me as a kid. I'm like, he just said those words, they're just gonna move on to a new
This was the first time I looked up what he was actually saying, and it was like, oh, this means something. It's not just like I have no idea what I thought it meant before.
I heard Matt Groening say it in the context of Futurama, but like I don't think you understand how smart the people are writing for us. They went to college, got great degrees, and are completely wasting them on cartoons.
Yeah, I think Futurama had three PhDs
on
the staff.
Three PhDs.
And they're all like mathematicians.
Yeah, and this is what they do.
They over,
write grandma sex jokes.
So that's why, same with those Yale, Harvard.
Excuse me. There's no Yale Lampoon.
All those Harvard writers. By the way, the writers on the commentary made me feel extra old because they say a thing that makes it clear this was recorded over 10 years ago. Wow, the commentaries on the DVDs that felt new, they're old now.
They're like 13 years old at this point, at least at this recording.
Wow.
And someday this will be old.
Yes.
No.
Please, no. I don't want to age anymore.
Yeah.
So what happens is even though the there's a draw, Homer does not want to let Ned win, even though he would also lose. So they both have to mow the lawn in their wife's Sunday best. Mm-hmm. But Flanders actually gets into it. Like, he enjoys it. He's having fun with
it. Because he knows he can have fun.
Our kids showed us something today, huh? Mm-hmm. By working together, we can both be winners. Thank heaven neither of us has to go through with that silly wager. Put her there, pal.
Oh, so you're gonna welch on our bet?
What are you talking about? Neither boy lost.
I got it right here in writing. The father of the boy who doesn't win has to mow the lawn in his wife's Sunday dress.
But neither... I mean, we're both... I mean, you have to do it, too.
It's a small price to pay to see you humiliate yourself.
That... I actually love that moment because it does feel like a parody of sitcoms. That on current sitcoms then, that would have been the end where Flanders says, well, I guess our kids really taught us a lesson, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then Homer would go, I guess they did. Let me buy you a beer. But instead Homer's like, oh, you're going to welch on our bed.
Let me find one more moment to be petty with.
Yeah.
He refuses to learn a lesson.
And so the episode ends with the entire neighborhood laughing at them.
Yes.
And Homer is very upset, but Flanders is just having fun with it.
Flanders got a better lawnmower. He's going to be done fast.
I don't know if it was revealed in this episode or maybe a later one, but he went to an all-boys college where he regularly dressed in drag to do stuff. I forget. Was
that
it this
was
episode?
In Streetcar.
Okay,
that
Streetcar.
I played Blanche DuBois.
Exactly.
One of the benefits
Ned
of going
Flanders
to an
may have
school.
The best backstory of any Simpsons cast
He's
member.
The best. Well, I love him in this era because he's just a really nice guy who's not aware that he's making people feel insecure.
Also, take into account that Ned is supposed to be 60 at this point,
oh,
too.
Oh, shit. I do not acknowledge that.
I don't recognize that either. Because couldn't be beatniks if he's 60.
No.
That was bullshit with
Ned. He was like 60 in 1999 or whatever, right? Yeah.
The one where they go to Vegas is a good episode, but if it's on the fact that Flanders is the best-looking 60-year-old ever, like... I hate that.
We'll get to that in like 5 years, I think.
9 years, man. That's a Scully show.
The show's just going to be just all of us complaining. Or being like, we were wrong. We were so wrong.
I miss these, and I miss being 30.
I can't get any interception onto my iGoogle iDevice.
Oh, boy. So I guess that was Talking Simpsons for this
week. Indeed it was.
But thanks for joining us. I am Bob Servo on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I also host the podcast Retronauts, the classic gaming podcast. Every week we have a new episode. Please go to usgamer.net or just search Retronauts on the podcast app or platform of your choice. Everybody else, please plug things.
I host a show called Laser Time with a bunch of these guys coming on to co-host with me. And we should be launching another... If you like the little news break we do in the beginning, maybe at this point we have a show all about that 30-20-10, what life was like 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago.
I really want to hear this.
Yeah.
We hope we can do that.
LaserTimePodcast.com.
And you can help us get to that and make that a reality by going to patreon.com/lasertime and supporting us that way. And I also do a comic book show, Cape Crisis, and appear on Video Game Apocalypse, Cheap Podcast, all the great podcasts on the Laser Time Network. Just go to lasertimepodcast.com and look them up.
You heard what they said. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode of Talking Simpsons. Until then, we'll see you next time.
Mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.